Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our meditation on this Sunday is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our dear Redeemer and our benevolent Provider, dear Christian friends. You ever had the opportunity to play the game called Bible Trivia? It's a game that's designed to test your knowledge of Bible truths and Bible facts. I recall playing a form of Bible trivia some years ago. It consisted of flashcards that posed various questions on a variety of Bible subjects. One question that I recall was, "Can you list 10 events from the life of Jesus that are recorded in all 4 of the New Testament Gospels?" I seem to recall my team getting stumped. I think we maybe got 6 out of the 10. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, for example, his Gethsemane prayer, his arrest, his trials, his death and resurrection are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And another flashcard question that I recall was one that asked, of the dozens of miracles, many, many dozens of miracles that Jesus worked during his 3.5-year ministry, which is the only one recorded in all 4 of the Gospels? Well, do you know the answer? Perhaps you can guess based on our text for today. It's the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You can read about it in Matthew, our text, also Mark, Luke, and John. And while I can't give a definite answer as to why the Holy Spirit inspired each of the gospel writers to include this particular miracle in their writings, my opinion is that he may well have done so because he really wanted to stress for us Christians, to engrave it upon our memories and upon our hearts, the blessed gospel truth that as we wend our way as pilgrims through the barren desert that is this world towards the glorious oasis of heaven, that we may look to Jesus to meet our every need. And that's the main thought of today's message in the sermon. Because he knows about our needs, and because Jesus is willing and able in his power and love to provide for our needs. So Jesus has just embarked on a boat journey across Lake Galilee. He's going over to the opposite shore to spend some time quietly with his disciples in that remote location so he can enjoy some downtime and have an opportunity to privately instruct his disciples on the kingdom of God and a place that's apart from the distractions of the swarming crowds. On reaching that location, the eastern shore, however, he finds it's not a quiet place at all. People from villages along the western coast and the northern coast of the lake walked. I think it's Luke who says in his version of the account, they ran. The young people, I suppose, and the children ran. Distance about 6 to 8 miles and beat Jesus to that opposite shore. They'd been so impressed by his miracles and his wonderful law gospel teaching that they were willing to trek miles on dusty roads and who knows what kind of weather conditions, it may have been very hot, to hear Jesus preach and to enlist his help with medical ailments that they and their loved ones were suffering from. When he saw the crowd milling around on the shore, what was Jesus' reaction? Luke, in his version of this account, says that he welcomed them. Matthew writes in our text that Jesus had compassion on them. The Greek word for Jesus having compassion on the masses of people is splanknizomai, and it's a very graphic word in the Greek. It means literally to have the bowels yearn. In Bible times, the intestines and the bowels were viewed as the seat of deep emotions, of love and mercy and sympathy. So in that vast multitude, Jesus in his divine omniscience could see, and his heart went out to them. That's how we would say it today. And all their physical problems and all their emotional pressures that they were dealing with, the troubles that all people experience living in a sin-torn world. And above all, Jesus, in his omniscience, was able to see their spiritual needs. He could look right into their hearts and see the sins that were troubling their consciences, the guilt feelings they were dealing with. He saw how they lacked that wonderful rest for the soul that comes from the certainty of sins forgiven and the sure and certain hope of heaven when life on earth ends. Something that the Lord wants each of us to take home from this story for our faith's encouragement is that he's the same omniscient Savior who is well aware of our needs today. He knows, first of all about our physical necessities, the medical issues that you are dealing with, the financial obligations you have to provide for yourselves and your families, the concerns we have in the COVID pandemic and all the craziness going on in our world and in our society, in the city streets, the concerns that we have as a congregation of Christians to meet our financial obligations as we endeavor to carry on the Lord's kingdom work here at St. Paul, and then outside our congregation in the wider fellowship of the Church of the Lutheran Confession. He knows about these needs. He knows, most importantly, about our soul needs, the daily assurance we also crave of the forgiveness of our sins, for that refreshment that comes and flows abundantly from the gospel well, the peace of knowing we are God's children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also one day be participants of his glory. You know, it's real significant that the Lord's knowledge of you and of your needs is not a superficial and a partial knowledge, but very thorough and complete. You remember how he said in the Good Shepherd chapter, "I'm the Good Shepherd, I know my sheep just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." That's a very thorough knowledge. Psalmist writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You are familiar with all my ways. You know when I get up in the morning and when I lie down. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book even before one of them came to be." It's a very thorough knowledge. In this world of millions and millions of people, we may feel at times like we're just a number. We go to the doctor or the dentist, might feel more like a number than an actual person with real cares and needs. To the Lord, we're not a number. He knows us each by name. He knows the earthly needs that we have and the critically important spiritual needs that we have. And this is the second take-home thought of the sermon. He's willing and able to supply them. You know, a Savior who knows us thoroughly about our needs but did not possess the capability to help. Like when our heart goes out to people, we feel helpless really to do anything to assist them. That kind of a Savior would not be a very good Savior, but we learn from our text that Jesus cares, knows, and has the power to lend us his help. We're told how he, seeing the needs of that massive crowd gathered on the shore that day, rolled up his sleeves and went to work to supply those needs, starting with their spiritual needs. He spent the entire day sharing the words of eternal life with them. He talked with the people, with the parents and the children, young and old alike, about sin and its consequences. He spoke to them about the remedy for sin, presenting himself as the bread who came down from heaven to give life to the world. He counseled the people to work not just for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, which I can give you. It's like he took out a treasure chest of God's grace, all the costly gifts of forgiveness, new spiritual life and everlasting salvation, guidance for the happiness of our lives here, directions, reliable directions to the life hereafter, the life of glory in heaven, and offered them to everyone who was part of that vast, needy crowd. And then as the afternoon hours wore on into evening and the people were getting hungry, he provided for their physical needs. His miracles and teaching had so captivated them that few, if any, had left. They'd come there, all those thousands. It was actually closer to 10,000 with women and children, without making any preparations for supper. So the disciples told Jesus to send them away so they can go get some food nearby villages. But he said, "They don't need to leave. You give them something to eat." He was testing their faith, because they had already witnessed miracles that he had done. "Jesus, you can help us." "Okay, let's feed them. No, they didn't pass the test. They said, what? We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which a little boy had brought along in a basket. They won't go far for so many. And then Jesus worked his miracle. After having the people sit on the grassy slopes in groups, he looked up to heaven, spoke a prayer of thanks to his Father, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to distribute to the crowd. So abundantly that afterwards the disciples picked up 12 bushel baskets full of bread fragments that had been left over. Again, the take-home point for this portion of the text for us is that the Lord wants us to know he is willing and able also to provide for our needs today. He knows our needs. He also can provide them. First and foremost, our heavenly needs through his holy word and sacraments. Promises to pour out upon us the treasures for our souls. As we read in that lesson from Isaiah, all you who are thirsty, spiritually thirsty, come to the waters, you have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without cost, listen to me and eat what's good, and your soul will delight itself in the richest of fare, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love that I have promised to my servant David. You know that the purpose of all of Jesus' miracles, this one recorded in all 4 Gospels, the first one that was the changing of water to wine, his giving sight to blind people, his raising people from the dead, was to show that he has power. He is the mighty Son of God, able to conquer Satan, forgive our sins through his work as our Savior, his death on the cross, and to bless and keep us as his own for time and for eternity. Jesus did many other miraculous signs, writes John towards the close of his gospel, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, an eternal, peaceful, loving relationship with your God in his name. In having this blessing in our possession through Christ, to know also then that he has the ability to provide the less important bodily needs too, also in times when it seems impossible and when the arithmetic doesn't seem to be right, doesn't add up, how can I pay my bills? I don't have much in my savings account, my checking account. How am I going to retire? I don't have enough. Jesus has power also to multiply our earthly blessings, not necessarily by dropping groceries on your kitchen table miraculously, but by giving a work bonus or causing you to land a better paying job with better benefits, or by providing a stimulus check, by sending a friend to help you out. One example you may have heard about already, about how the Lord has provided for our congregation at St. Paul through a generous bequest gift recently so that the mortgage on the parsonage can be completely paid off. I'm sure that you could share similar instances from your life when the Lord opened the storehouse of his blessings to provide for you and your loved ones, keeping that promise from his Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things for your earthly lives will be provided as well. You ever wonder why the Lord, in a number of places in the Bible, reminds us that he's the creator? Like in Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Or Psalm 100, Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he's God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. Well, he wants to reassure us, wants to remind us of his glorious attribute of omnipotence, his unlimited power, that he not only knows our needs, as mentioned, he's fully capable to supply them, and always in a time and way that is best. So I began the sermon by talking about Bible trivia. Again, I don't know if you ever played the game. If you ever do, it could be that maybe you won't know the answers. That's okay, it's just a game. But what a joy it is to know that as we read and study the Bible, as we search its pages, as we hear it preached, the Holy Spirit enables us to increase in our biblical knowledge and understanding and in our appreciation for the blessed truths that are contained therein, including the one set forth in our text, feeding the 5,000, that you can look to Jesus, you can count on him to meet your every need. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.